Our text here in Hebrews says God is able to save to the uttermost. Well, what does that mean? It means He is able to save fully, completely, and to the extreme highest degree. Guess what? God does not just partially save. He doesn't start something in us and then don't complete it. He does not partially heal. Well, He touched my head, but I still got pain in my shoulder. No, He'll do it all. He does not partially deliver. Whatever God does, He does it to the uttermost. Meaning He goes all the way with every one of us. Jesus is no respecter of persons. There is nothing beyond His ability because He saves to the uttermost. That means He takes care of the whole thing. The whole enchilada. Hallelujah. Cheese, beef, and chicken. Whatever you want there. Here's another portion of Scripture. I did not give them these Scriptures to post, but if you've got a pencil today, I've got a few of them here that you can just write down. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God. Notice something with me now about this particular Scripture. It does not say that the promises are sometimes yes and sometimes no. But they are yes and they are amen for our lives. Most of us know this, but it's worth being reminded that the word amen means so be it. Amen is in agreement here with the word yes. We need to realize then that every promise that God has made has already been fulfilled. And as far as He is concerned, all of them are yes. If God says He is our healer, then we can and we should expect healing to take place in our lives. If God is our deliverer, then we should expect deliverance to take place in our lives. If God is our caretaker, then we should expect Him to take care of us, and He does. How many knows that? If God is our provider, then we should expect God to provide for us. And how many in here can say God has provided for us? Amen. Well, why is that? Because all of God's promises are yes and amen. Everything God has promised has a yes attached to it. We're not trying to get God to do something because, you see, it's already been done. God has completed all of His work, and guess what He's doing now? He's resting, and He's wanting us to be able to rest with Him because He's already done everything that He needs to do concerning the situations that arise in our lives. It's a done deal. Would you look at somebody and just say, it's a done deal? You really can rest in God's Word. You can rest in Him. In fact, Jesus in His own words told us that we are to be anxious or careful for nothing. And that in everything we are to give thanks. And He also told us to just praise Him. And we praise Him, why? Because of His promises. Our part then is to just say amen. It means that you're in agreement with what He has said. When we look through the Bible and we find God saying to us, I'll never leave you or forsake you, guess what? We can say amen to that. Amen. Just like Brother Tony prayed. And when he says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, guess what we can do? We can say amen to that promise. Amen. What about when He says, He who calls you is faithful. He will also do it. Guess what? We can say amen to that one too. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. We find Jesus speaking about the prayer of agreement. And here's what he says. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now here we find Jesus talking about two or more people coming together into agreement with each other based on their knowledge of God's will. And by the way, God's word and His will are one and the same. It is His will for us to be healed. It is His will for us to be able to walk in victory and walk in freedom. The prayer of agreement is a powerful type of prayer. When you speak or you pray the word of God, listen, that puts you in agreement with Almighty God Himself. You are agreeing then with what He has said. And that's why that you need to find someone who you can get in agreement with and agree with God's Word, that what God's Word says about your situation. And yes, I know that it seems that sometimes God waits until the last minute to fulfill His promise. How many know He has a way of showing up at 11:59? The last minute before the midnight hour. Why do you suppose that is? It's possibly to see if you and I are going to really take Him at His word and trust Him. You see, most people give up too soon. They're not willing to wait and to trust Him to show up. You have to stand then with God until you receive what you have asked for in faith. You stand until you see it manifested. Don't move from your stance. Don't change your confession. Don't find yourself saying, well, I guess this is not working. No, you have to persevere. We have to remember that when we speak, we really are prophesying. With our mouths, we can prophesy good, or guess what? We can prophesy bad. Over our lives or over someone else's lives. You got to be careful. If you say, well, I guess it's not working for me today. What have you just done? You just prophesied failure over yourself. Tell somebody to stop it. You've just come into agreement with the enemy instead of God. This verse says, if two of you agree, is speaking of two believers agreeing. If you need healing in a situation, then you want to be in agreement with someone else who believes the word of God. Listen, it's a life or death, even if it's a life or death situation. I don't want somebody trying to be in agreement with me who I know is always negative about life or about the things of God. They might as well go on because I don't want them agreeing with me. I want somebody who believes the full gospel, who believes that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that He still heals and delivers. Amen. So find somebody who will agree with you based on what God has said about your situation. In fact, find four crazy friends like the paralyzed man had in Mark chapter 2 and verse 3. There's a few crazy friends in here, I know. Lydia's at the top of it. Of the list, you know. And Tony, he's my crazy friend. Brother Gary. Amen. Amen. Such a cherry. She's on that list. They were determined, listen, they were determined to reach Jesus. And what did they do? The Bible says they tore the roof to let their paralyzed friend down in a crowded room so Jesus could touch him. You can't get much crazier than that. Find those friends and have them stand with you and prophesy the word of the Lord over you, for you, and with you. Well, what does the word of the Lord say? I'm so glad you asked. You can start with Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. The Bible says, and these are Jesus' words, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. Linda, did you quote that Thursday night, Wednesday night, whenever it was? Jesus said in John 15 and 7, if we abide in him and his words abide in us, we can ask what we will and it will be done with us. Not maybe, not might so, it will be. Having his word abide in us means that they remain and they'll continue to live in us. Again, he wants us to prove him at his word. He wants us to bring him in remembrance concerning his word. Lord, this is what your word says. I'm standing on your word. I'm not going to be moved off of that. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. The word says that all things are possible with God. Can you say with God? Listen, being with God means this. We are like-minded with him. It means we are aligned with him. It means we are all in agreement with him. We just have to agree with him and his word. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When you pray, believe that you receive. Guess what? That's a prayer of faith. That's simply agreeing with God based on his word. Whatever your request might be, you've settled it in your heart, you're believing, and now that you're going to be receiving it. We have to be diligent, and we have to be persistent. And yes, patient. Because God knows what he's doing. We have to stand firm on what we believe and refuse to be moved off of it. Now, how many know we have an enemy who wants to sabotage anything good for our lives? He does not want us to have a good life. And he does it. Here's how he does it. He does it through guilt. He'll do it through condemnation. And he'll do it with regret. Did you know that's a biggie? Here's what happens. You're now believing and you're standing on God's promises for something in your life. And then here comes this little imp. And he plops down beside you and he starts shooting those darts of wrong thoughts and those lies right into your mind. Who do you think you are for believing for that? You don't deserve that. You don't have any right. You're not worthy to receive anything. Who do you think you are? I mean, look at all these things you've done since you met Jesus. You've sinned in so many ways. You really have fallen short of the glory of God. Look how many times you've missed it. And guess what? He will go on and on, even using God's word against you, until we put a stop to it. Well, can I tell you, there's good news for us as the children of the Most High God. There is good news for us. Aren't you glad of that? Because our Heavenly Father has made a provision for dealing with our sin problems. He knows we're going to make mistakes. We're going to mess up. He's the one that made us. He already knows. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Can you say he is faithful? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I'm going to forgive you for this, but I'm not going to forgive you for that. No, all unrighteousness. So when we repent, he cleanses us from every sin and all of our unrighteousness. We simply confess our sins to him and repent. Lord, I'm sorry for what I said. Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. You saw it. Lord, I'm sorry for even thinking those kind of things. Then know that he forgives us instantly when we repent. He doesn't want us wallowing around, going all week long or all day long in a pit of guilt and condemnation. Now the devil does, but he wants us to believe his word concerning our lives. And what are we to do? We don't wait another day or so before we repent. We rush immediately, not down the road. He wants us to rush immediately to his throne room. Confess our sins, repent, and then accept his forgiveness. Don't go to bed without you've dealt with that. Again, our Heavenly Father knows us better than we know ourselves, and he's already provided for us in dealing with sin issues. Here's Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25. Here's what it says. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. When Jesus came and died, he made a way for us to be forgiven of all of our sins through his shed blood. We don't have to beg. Right. Believers are not beggars.
That's right.
You go to him simply in sincerity.
Yes.
He already knows our heart.
Yes,
he just wants to hear it from our lips.
Right.
Ask for forgiveness. And begin then to thank him for forgiving you and cleansing you. Listen, you can depend on him to do that because he said he would. And let's remember what repentance means. It means turning away, changing the direction that you've been going. If you're going in the wrong direction with your life, then again, stop it. If we're going in that wrong direction, then the Lord expects us to turn around and change direction. Don't repent and then keep going the same direction. But guess what? Once we've repented, it's done. Don't let the enemy lie to you and put you on a guilt trip. Your sins are forgiven. There are no records then to pull back up. That's why I want my sins dealt with now. I don't want to stand before God in judgment and him having to bring those things up. You don't have to worry about standing there in front of the throne of God and facing one of your sins. Not if you have asked him for forgiveness, because it's gone. Now that's for somebody here this morning. Would you say it's gone? And then we have those sweet so-called folks that come along and say something like this. Well, I know why this happened to you. I'll tell you right now, it's because you did thus and so. Hear me closely. Yes, you might have done thus and so. But if you've asked God to forgive you, that sin is gone. You've turned the page, and you're over now on a new page. You don't have to go back. Well, I did this and I did that. No, you're on a new page. The new page does not start off with hours of repenting constantly over and over. No, it begins with shouting. I mean shouting praises and thanksgiving to a loving God, a great and powerful God, who has said these words recorded for us in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Quit bringing your past up to the Lord. It's a slap in His face. He's already forgotten it. Don't dig it back up. That's been a biggie in my life. Finally, he said, "You're slapping me in the face. I've already forgiven you for all of that. Why do you keep bringing it up?" And then we have those arrogant, religious, well-meaning friends who show up, and here's what they say. "Well, now, Brother Tony, we can't demand things of God." Let me just tell you something. We're not demanding anything from God. I am demanding that the devil turn loose what God says belongs to me. That's what I'm demanding. I'm commanding the devil to get out of my way in the name of Jesus. I'm demanding God to do, I'm not demanding God to do anything. I'm simply accepting what He's already done for me. I'm simply coming before God and asking for what is rightfully mine based on what He has already provided for me. And here's the word to back that up. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Did you notice it says we have the confidence? It doesn't say we have the hope. It says this is the confidence that we have. What does that mean? We know that we receive. We know we have the petitions, those requests, those things that have been asked of Him. And we know we received when we asked according to His Word. This morning, whatever it is that you need or you desire from God, find the Scriptures that show God's will in that area. And let me tell you, you keep prophesying. You keep believing that you will have what God says you can have. And believing that God will do what He says you can do. Amen. And watch then a transformation begin to take place in your life. Can I just tell you, God is not disturbed by dead things. We find over in Romans chapter 4. And verse 17, that God brings dead things to life, and He calls those things that be not as though they were. How many know we all have dead things in our lives? Yes. It may be concerning one's health. You don't see any movement there. Or relationship. Or your finances. Or it might be in your job. If it touches you or your family or those around you, then life must be spoken into those dead things. Can you say amen? God says, call those things that be not as though they were. In other words, call it the way you want it to be based on God's Word. And quit calling it the way you see it right now in the natural. Call those dead things back to life again. Call them to be what you want, not just what you have. When we look back in the Old Testament, we find the old patriarch by the name of Abraham. He was nearly 100 years old. Yet he made up his mind to believe God. If you've been in church long enough, you know the story. He kept his eyes upon God and what He said. And he did not waver when God said that he and Sarah would produce a son in their old age. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 21 that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able then to perform. Can I tell you, the more that we focus on what God has said, we're going to find more, the more things will begin to happen for us. If God has spoken it, you can be fully persuaded that he will bring it to pass. Find that promise and begin to prophesy that word in faith and prove God's word is true. Prove that it will produce the promise. If God has said it, again, it's yes and amen. Amen. Not a maybe so. Remember, God doesn't work in maybes.
That's right.
He does not work in maybes. And he didn't say it will always happen the first time that you speak his word. God really does want us to learn to stand on his word and not waver. Someone said, and not wobble. He wants us to have Abraham-like faith and be fully persuaded in our lives. So how then can we be fully persuaded? Well, we can do like Abraham did. Romans 4:20. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. But what happened? But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. That means it's a decision then to believe God and give him glory no matter what the circumstances are looking like right now. Forget all those contradictions that come from common sense or worldly thinking or natural circumstances. And you be fully persuaded that God can and will perform his word in our lives. Every time someone said, Abraham, you're too old to have a son, what would Abraham do? Well, God, I'm just going to give you the glory in this. You said it. When they said, Sarah can't have a baby at her age, Abraham would say, well, Lord, you said it. I'm giving you the glory. Again, the Bible says in Romans 4:20, he staggered not. He was not moved by what he heard. He was not moved by what he saw or what he felt in a natural realm. He was rooted and he was grounded in the word from God. He was strong in his faith, giving glory to God, the Bible says. He gave glory to God because he knew he would eventually see the fulfillment of God's promise in his life. Did he mess up along the way? Yeah, he did. He tried to do something different. Didn't work out. Listen, when the doctors tell you there's no cure for what you have, you begin to say, well, Lord, I'm giving you this glory. I'm giving you the glory. Because I'm going to stand on your word.
Amen.
There's nothing impossible with you. When they say, well, your marriage can't survive, God, I'm giving you the glory.
Amen.
I don't know how it's going to work out, but you don't want a divided family. When everything looks like it's contrary to the word of God, God, I'm just going to give you the glory today.
Yeah.
I don't have a clue. I don't have the full answer, but you do.
Amen.
And you know what's best for my life.
Right.
Well, what are you doing? You're calling those things the way you want them to be rather than the way they are appearing right at that moment. Begin to declare God's word. Speak the name of Jesus and speak life with the word of God. Declare God's word with assurance to the mountains, to the dead things, to the obstacles, to the problems in your life and in those of your children and, yes, your grandchildren. And begin to expect them to be removed and brought to life and changed. Hallelujah. The Word of God is alive and full of power. He wants us then to speak His living Word and watch dead things come back to life. And guess what? It's all about trusting God. It's all about trusting God, and it requires stepping out in faith. Sometimes, though, how many can be honest? We're not comfortable in stepping out sometimes. But we have to remember, to be called an overcomer means I have to overcome something. If I'm a conqueror, it means I've conquered something. If I'm the head and not the tail, as the Bible says, then I have risen above situations and circumstances. What a testimony we can have then. Remember, faith requires something on our part. We have to do something and then trust God to do His part. And there's a lot of folks who don't want to take a leap without God catching them first. But we have to realize He can't catch you until you jump. It's called a leap of faith. And we make that leap based on God's Word. Why don't we begin this morning then, begin anew to decide to trust God to the uttermost and go all the way with Him. And that's for every area of our life. Remember, we will get exactly what God's Word says we will get. When you begin to speak the Word, expect to get what the Word says. Don't waver, don't doubt, but you keep your eyes on a definite result and an expected outcome. You can expect good things to happen. You can expect great things to happen because the Bible gives definite results, not maybes. If you need healing, you can expect to be healed. Refuse to be denied. I said refuse to be denied. Be immovable in every situation. Let me end with this last scripture. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds, saith the Lord. Remember, when we are confronted by the enemy with symptoms or difficult situations, or difficult circumstances, remember, Jesus used the Word when He said, it is written. And we can do the very same thing with this Word that's been given to us as a weapon. As we stand firm on what is written, then concerning us, just like Jesus did, prove Him at His Word and watch what happens. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. We give you glory today, Lord. Lord, we give you glory and we thank you for victory today. We thank you for overcoming victory in our lives over every situation. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, as we prepare to leave today, Lord, I just ask God that you would just be with each and every person. I speak blessings over each and every person here today, those watching online. And Lord, you see every need. You see what different ones are dealing with. So Lord, I thank you today for your Word that we can stand on. It doesn't matter what the circumstances look like. It doesn't matter what the x-rays are saying, what the blood report is saying. It doesn't matter. All those things are facts. But Lord, we're standing on the truth of your Word. And your Word says we are healed. And we can be healed in every area of our life. In our minds and in our physical being and in our spirit. Thank you, Lord, today for your Word. Let it take root in our hearts. Give us a hunger like we've never had for your Word and for your Spirit. As we seek your face, we thank you today. I thank you for full victory. I thank you that we can walk in victory. We're not victims, but we're victors in this race. So thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. I'll be right here if you need prayer. God bless you.